Please open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. But before we get into this chapter, I don't know if you all have heard what happened to the West Freeway Church of Christ in the Fort Worth area of Texas this morning during communion. And as, you know, like how we do here, and the plates get to the back, a man had come in and it's all on video and said something to a guy holding the plate and then shot him. And I think killed him and killed another member of the church. And then someone else was injured, and at least four members had weapons on them, and they killed them. So I think they need our prayers at this time. Would you bow with me, please? Dear God, you know all things, and you know what goes on in this world. And you know the evil that resides in the hearts of man. And we're saddened to hear that some of our brethren in Texas, Father, have suffered at the hands of an evil person. And we pray, dear God, that at this time, that congregation will reach out to you in full faith and trust, that they will see that you are the one who has the answers to all their questions. May they use your word and spirit-filled members of that congregation to bless the rest of the congregation. They are suffering loss when they did not expect it. They were remembering the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then some of them gave their own lives. So we pray, O God, that you would help this congregation who must be struggling with a lot of things right now. And if there's a way that we can help them, O God, please show us that way. We want to continue to pray for them, but we know that you know what it is that we're able to do. And we know that between here and there, and especially in Texas, there are plenty of congregations. There are many members of the church. So we know that all of their needs that can be met by their fellow Christians will probably be met there, but we want to make ourselves available to our brethren there in any capacity that you see that we can contribute. So as we go through this service now, Father, please help us that we might really dwell upon the message that's here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. May we take this message home and live by it, because we can go at any time, even in a worship service. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And I know that last Lord's Day, I gave a sermon called Resolve to Serve the Lord in the New Year. And this morning, I talked about what would be a good resolution to start reading the Bible every day, if you're not already, for the new year, 2020. And so here's a third message. And I've never done that before. I usually will give one message of even any at all. But maybe it's my own inadequacy. I feel that I'm still not what I want to be for the Lord. And so maybe this is coming from my own heart and I'm preaching to myself. I don't know. But I feel desperate for the church here. And, you know, I think about you every day, all day long. I go on vacation, I think about the church here. you know, I was just on vacation this week, you know, and got a text at 1:21 in the morning that, you know, the son of one of our members here had died. And so that was heavy on my heart. So I want us to do the best we can. I want us to make sure that we're serving the Lord and doing the things that God told through Moses, told Israel, that they needed to do when they went into the land of Canaan. Because when I read Deuteronomy 8, it sounds a lot like the United States of America. And it sounds like what I, as an American Christian, need to be thinking. So I actually preached this same message. I think it was in 2012. So does everyone remember the message? I didn't think so. And since I was gone this past week, I thought I'll pull out an old message and so I hope you don't mind a rerun from 7 years ago. All right, so number one is this. Remember God's commandments. Deuteronomy 8:1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. So Israel could not neglect any command of God. If they did every commandment as they stood here at the border of the land of Canaan, Moses promised that they would live and multiply. They could go in and possess the land of Canaan, which God was giving to them, and possess it just as he had sworn to their fathers, especially to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you know something? God keeps his promises. And so we should keep, Israel, you should keep his commandments. Secondly, remember God's leadership. Verses 2 through 4. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Excuse me. Well, you can see where Jesus quoted from when the devil was tempting him, right? In Matthew 4:4. So Israel, remember how God brought you through everything in life. He was with their fathers. He was with Israel those 400 years, four centuries in Egypt, through the 40 years wilderness wandering, and now he would be with them in the land of Canaan just as much as he had been with them already. But during that time, he says, Moses said, that God has also humbled you and tested you so that he might know what was in your hearts, and that they might know what was in their own hearts, whether they would obey him or not. And they saw how they responded to the difficulties that they encountered along the ways. And so they knew what Moses was talking about. They knew how they would deal with life. And Moses mentioned in particular that God humbled them by allowing them to hunger and by giving them special food and not allowing their clothes to wear out, nor to allow their feet to swell. In other words, just look at yourselves, he said. Just look how you've made it through these 40 years. How is that possible? How can you get, I've estimated, a conservative estimate, of 3.5 million people, the state of Oregon, all grouped together, wandering through a wilderness. How do you feed that amount of people? How do you provide water for them every day? So Moses is getting them just to say, you know, look at our brief history here in the wilderness for 40 years. It ought to be obvious to you that there's a God in heaven and he's been taking care of you all these times. And of course, they actually had miracles that they witnessed along the way as well. So all of that taught them that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So they were to hang upon every word that God spoke. Just like I was talking about this morning from Psalm 119. Listen to God's word. Remember what he has said. His leadership will not fail you. That doesn't mean he won't take you through some difficult times, because he did take Israel through some difficult times, but he took them through it. They came through those times. Number three, remember God's chastening. For 2020, remember God's chastening. Verse 5, you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Well, they chastened their own sons. They understood that. They understood the need for it. They understood how to do it and all that sort of thing. So Moses says, the Lord did the same thing with you. You're his children. Of course he's going to do that. He's not trying to destroy you. He's not trying to hurt you. This is just part of the growth process. Number four, in 2020, remember God's blessings, verses 6 through 10. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Now see, when I read that, I think, well, that sounds like where I live. just the blessing of natural resources. So knowing how the Lord had sustained them and what he had taught them, they were to keep his commandments, walking in his ways and fearing him, he said. And they were about to go from a wilderness to a land of superabundance, filled with natural resources. And he said, you know, if you keep God's commandments, you'll never have to go hungry again. They would always have what they would need. God would fill them up in their new home. Then verse 10 said that they needed to bless the Lord for what he had given them. It's kind of like today, we say, God bless America. And I'm so glad when I see that. But God blesses America when America blesses God. God blesses us first, and he will continue to bless us when we bless him. That's what Moses was teaching Israel. And doesn't America, or just we as Christians, don't we need to hear that same message? Number five, remember God himself. Verses 11 through 17. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest, excuse me, when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the land. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. That was a long sentence, but it certainly made a point, didn't it? So here comes the stern warning, don't forget God. So sometimes we remember his blessings, we enjoy the gifts, but we forget about the giver. That's one thing I learned from the book of Ecclesiastes, that ultimately the gifts are nothing if you forget the giver. And of course, in this case, we're talking about God. Moses even identified the way in which they could forget God by forgetting to do what he said to do. Here the scripture provides insight into the nature of man, that once we're doing well, and this can happen, of course, individually, but I think he's addressing it nationally, that once we're doing well, as humanity, we have a tendency to lift up our hearts and say, look what I did, or look what we did. This morning I referenced King Nebuchadnezzar, and I already assigned you to read Amos and something else. Can you read Daniel 4 this week also? You got to do all this before Wednesday, January 1st, when you start reading your Bible every day, okay? You really need to read Daniel 4. Because that was Nebuchadnezzar's problem. You've heard about the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the wonders of the ancient world. Well, he's walking around his palace and he says, look at what I have done by my power, by my might. And there's this voice that came from heaven that Daniel told him a year earlier was going to happen, but he forgot it. And he heard this voice that said, you're going to be driven from men until you learn that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and sets up over it the lowest of men. That's Daniel 4, 17 and 27. It's stated there twice. First time by Daniel, and then the second time being spoken directly to Nebuchadnezzar from heaven. Okay, so, you know, some people forget God when they're suffering. They become angry at Him. Some people forget God during times of prosperity. Because, you know, why do you need Him now? That kind of mindset says, I need Him when I'm struggling, but I don't need Him once I'm doing well. I mean, no one comes out and says it like that, but that's how we live it out. Number six, remember God's power. Verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Remember that the Lord is the one who gives power to get wealth. It does not come from the government. It does not come from businesses. It does not come from universities. It does not come from natural resources. God is the one who gives what is necessary to get wealth or to do whatever it is that we need to do in life. It all comes down to Him. And then number seven, remember God's warnings. Verses 19 and 20. And then it shall be, if you by any means, because there's different ways, forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so shall you perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. So here's another insight into human behavior. If we forget God, we don't just become neutral. We turn to something else. I've often wondered, how is it that in the past, ancient nations, like let's say Egypt, why is it that they turned their pharaohs and their government into a god? How could that happen? Well, I think we're slowly seeing that progress today. Many Americans have decided they don't want the God of the Bible in their lives anymore, but they still want a huge power over them that ensures their safety and provides what they want, so forth and so on. And we're putting that faith and that trust into the government. But that's not where it's at. If Israel misplaced their faith, the Lord laid out clearly what He would do. He says, you're going to perish just like the nations before you. Centuries later, the great man Daniel, oh, I hate to say this, I know I've asked you to read this before, but here's another one, Daniel 9. Okay, please read Daniel 9 if you've never read it before. If you want to know how to pray to God, if you want to know how to so touch God that He'll meet, you know, supply you with what it is that you want, learn to pray like Daniel. Because you'll find out that as you go through his prayer, that he discovers from Gabriel, the angel, that as soon as he started to pray, God sent out the command to fulfill his prayer because God knew what was coming. And he didn't wait till Daniel got to the end of his prayer. At the very beginning, he started answering it already. So please read Daniel 9, okay? Part of his prayer is this. Verse 13. He said to God, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Excuse me again. So Daniel had evidently read what we call Deuteronomy 8. He had read Leviticus 26. He had read Deuteronomy 28 through 30. He had read the whole law, hadn't he? And the Lord said, here's what I'll do. Leviticus 26, you can decide whether you want to read that one this week or not. Leviticus 26 said, if you listen to me and keep my commandments, here's how I'll bless you. And then he said, but if you don't listen to me, here's what I'll do. And if you don't listen to me further, here's what I'll do. And if you don't listen to me any further, here's what I'll do. And he just said, each time he says, I'll punish you seven times more for your sins. Seven times more for your sins. Seven times more for your sins. And Daniel, this wise and understanding man, read that and he said, that's my generation. That's why I'm here at this point in time. It wasn't Babylon anymore, but Persia. Jerusalem had fallen. He was a contemporary of Daniel, or Jeremiah, whom we've been studying. And he was taken away as a young man, I'm guessing as a teenager. You know, and he's incorporated into the Babylonian government, later into the Persian government. And he tells you in Daniel 9 that he's reading the prophet Jeremiah, where Jeremiah said that the captivity would be 70 years. And so he's thinking, it's been 70 years. And he also remembers what he's read in the law, and he says, God keeps his word, every bit of it. God is not slack. So he remembered God's warnings. Just like how Moses had written 1,000 years before. So, what shall you and I do as American Christians? Same thing. Based on verse 1, remember God's commandments. You know, millions of people have come to the United States of America. God has blessed countless numbers of people because they tried to obey Him. Therefore, He's given us a good land, has He not? Number 2, remember God's leadership, verses 2 through 4. America has also suffered much in her history, which allowed God to see what we would do. And so far, if I remember accurately, every time we've had national suffering, we've turned to God. I hope that will continue to be the case. We have learned that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that God says. And number 3, remember God's chastening, verse 5. God loves America even as He loves all the nations of the earth. Now, sometimes we might think that He loves us more, but I don't think that's the case. I think He loves Mexico, He loves China, He loves South Africa, He loves Russia, He loves Saudi Arabia, He loves Afghanistan. You name the nation, as much as He loves ours. But we've been good at blessing Him. And so He's really shown us a great deal of love. So we've experienced His severity that we might learn to lean upon Him. And let's make sure that we always lean upon Him. And number 4, remember God's blessings. That was 6 through 10. And like I kind of indicated earlier, I can't read those verses without thinking about us. I mean, I just think, I mean, that's just written about my country. Because it just seems to fit it so well. We have a land with an abundance of natural resources, so much so that we never have to be in want ever again. I mean, think about it. We feed the world. And even in cases where we don't feed the world, we teach the world how to do it. Now, a lot of the world feeds us also. I mean, have you wondered how we get bananas in Grants Pass, Oregon in December? I don't see it growing around any of our fields around here. So it's not just us blessing the world. The world blesses us too. But then as verse 10 said, let us bless the Lord for what He has given us. We can't forget to do that. As Christians, as American Christians, Christian Americans, whichever way would be the best way to say that. Number 5, remember God. That's verses 11 through 17. We cannot forget God, for even as He has given us blessings, so He can take them away. Isn't that what Job said? Job was the wealthiest man in the East during his day. I think Job lived in modern Jordan. So that area and anything east, he was wealthy, and the Bible tells you how wealthy he was. And then, boom, in one day, he loses it all. And then sometime later, he loses his health. He loses the respect of his community. He loses the respect of the children, of the workers whom he used to employ. He lost the support of his wife. He lost the support and respect of his friends. But he had said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Although it was Satan who was behind the taking away, but God clearly allowed it. So that's why here in Deuteronomy 8, Moses wanted Israel to remember, you know, God has that power. And we noticed that today in Lamentations chapter 3, didn't we? Those of you in my class. So, yet, when you look at America's history, you know, as we come along, we just keep prospering more and more and more. Look at our prosperity today. Compare it to 100 years ago, compare it to 200 years ago. I know sometimes people say, well, I wish I lived back then. Well, I do for some reasons, but as far as wealth and the advancements of medicine and all kinds of other things, I'm glad I live when I do. Well, I can't do anything about it anyways. I'm here, so I'm going to enjoy it. The Lord has blessed us immensely. And He was okay with our nation while we struggled. But now that we have all that we need, and so much more, many Americans just don't see a need for Him anymore. In fact, a lot of American Christians don't see a need for Him anymore. We believe that we can do well or do better without Him. Why? What other reason can you give for a Christian who has experienced the superiority of spiritual blessings and the superiority of material blessings as an American? How else can you explain a Christian who falls away? I think I can do even better than this by myself. I don't need Him. That's sad. Number six, you know, we need to remember God's power. Verse 18, okay? Remember that the Lord is the one who gives power to get wealth. And I reiterate, it does not come from the government. It does not come from businesses. It does not come from university-trained people. It does not come from our natural resources. It doesn't even come from the fact that we're Americans. Just consider our national motto. In God we trust. And I am so glad we have that on our money. And that's about the only place where we see it, isn't it? I think we need that reminder all the time. I don't know whose idea it was to put it on the money. It happened during President Eisenhower's administration. I don't know if it was his idea or someone else's that we put on our money, but I'm glad that that was done. Although, as I told you last week, there are some we were trying to get it removed. I hope they never succeed. And number seven, we also need to remember God's warnings. That was verses 19 and 20. These verses, again, provide another insight into human behavior. If we forget God, we will turn to something else. The faith that the average American used to put in government, we now put in other things. That we used to put in God, I should say. Excuse me. The faith that the average American used to put in God, we now put into government or other things. So verses 19 and 20 also showed that if Israel forgot God, He would cause them to perish from the land. He said, I'll cause you to perish from the land just like the nations before you. The Canaanites, the Amorites, and all the others. And I thought to myself, wow, if God did that to Israel, if God did that to the Canaanites, if God did that to the Egyptians, if God did that to the Persians, if God did that to the Greeks, if God did that to the Romans, and any other world power that you want to mention, why would He ignore us? Okay, so this is why it's so important for each of us to live our faith, to live it to the fullest, and just to live by faith, not by sight. Because we help to preserve our nation. That's why Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You help preserve the earth. Or you are the salt of America. You help to preserve the nation. And hopefully, as the light of the world, Jesus then also said, that will spread the light and others will see that and want to become part of us. Now, if the nation serves God, and I fail to serve Him, the nation shall prosper and I shall perish. On the other hand, if the nations, or my nation, fails to serve God, but I serve Him, I shall live forever, but the nation shall perish. So remember now God, and He'll remember you later. Forget God now, and He'll forget you later. At the judgment, He shall cast away from Him those who forgot Him, but He shall invite to be with Him those who remembered Him. Isn't that what we all want? Remembering God brings blessings, I believe, now and later. Even as parents want their children to remember them, I want my three daughters to remember them. I don't want them to ever to forget me. You know, what I've taught them and so on. Well, so it is with the Lord. He wants us to remember Him. I mean, why do we have the communion? You know, it's to remember how the Lord Jesus sacrificed Himself to the point of a violent death. He shed His blood. The Bible tells us to remember God. Here's a few passages. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Isaiah 44:21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. So remember me, because I'll remember you. 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. Those are good things for us to remember. So, what do you think about all that the Lord has done for you? What do you think the Lord has done for you as a Christian, and what do you think the Lord has done for you as an American? Whatever your struggles in life have been, you have somehow made it this far, because working behind the scenes was the Lord our God working on your behalf. He was there for you, even when you didn't know He was there. He showed us in countless ways His endless care, and that He remembers us in all things. So let us remember Him. Let us all remember Him throughout the year. We have nothing to lose and everything to gain, brethren, as I know you're well aware of all these things. It just serves as a reminder. So if right now tonight, if you're struggling with having the kind of mindset that Israel was supposed to have, and you see that, well, yeah, we as Christians should also, we want to pray for you. Okay, so when we sing this song, you can come forward, I'll meet you, and you know, I'll find out what your need is, and then the elders, they'll come and sit by you, and I'll come up here and tell the congregation, we need to pray for this brother or sister for this reason. And then we'll have a prayer. We'll go to the throne of the God of heaven on your behalf. So if you're ready, come forward now as we stand and sing.